A while back, I was been studying the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, and finally got back to it. Matthew 5 and 38 is where we're going to pick up. I'm skipping the verses before that. It goes in talking about oaths, and I really couldn't come up with a lesson with oaths just because it's something that we really don't do these days. We don't take anybody for their word. If it's not on paper, it does not exist. So with that being the case, I kind of went over oaths. But if you go back and look at that, Christ's teachings on oaths was they would take oaths besides being in God's name. They would take oaths for the city of Jerusalem. You know, I take an oath by the city of Jerusalem that I will do whatever it is I'm going to do. And that just kept and going further and further. And it was giving them a loophole is what it was. And Christ said, just don't do it. I mean, we don't even swear by God. Don't swear by your own name. And so that was his teachings on that. I'm not going to go into it. We're going to start there in Matthew 5 and verse 38. It says, you have heard that it have been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. We'll stop right there and look at that old law that he's referring to. It'll be found in Exodus chapter 21, verse number 22. It says, if men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief followeth, he shall be surely punished, according to the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as his judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Then we also find it in Leviticus chapter 24, verse number 17. It says, and he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death, and he that killeth a beast shall make it good, beast for beast. And if a man cause a blemish in his neighbor, as he hath done, so shall it be done to him. You see, breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, that he hath caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done to him again. And he that killeth a beast, he shall restore it. And he that killeth a man, he shall be put to death. Read through this old law, and it was always sent before judges. The judges were to determine the outcome of the scenario. And with that, the children of Israel kind of skipped that part. And we have a tendency to like to think we can do that too, but skip the judges and just retaliate. And so that's why Christ was teaching his disciples about this. Deuteronomy 19:16, it says, and if a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition, and behold, if the witness be a false witness, and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do to him as he hath thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put an evil away from the evil away from among you. So the judges were to control the punishment for what was going on. And a lot of times they just quit doing that. I mean, they still had judges, and I'm not exactly for sure what the judge's role if they weren't taking care of this matter, this kind of stuff, but they found it was sometimes best to leave the judges out of things and to take care of it on their own. And we look back and we see how corrupt those high priests got to be, and how corrupt the judges were. You can kind of understand why they went around them to get things done. I guess if you had enough money, you could get the judges to do whatever you wanted to. So this was part of the reason Christ taught on this. says in Leviticus 19:18, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. We read in Romans 12:17, it says, recompense to no man evil for evil, for thy thing is honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. How often do we avenge ourselves? I mean, I don't get hit very often, so I don't hit anybody back, but people say bad things about us, don't they? It just happens. I mean, I'm not perfect, so, you know, there's some people out there will say, you know, Matt can cuss like a sailor. I mean, he can get mad, and whenever he does, run away. I'm usually not like that. But, you know, we get vengeance nowadays by our words. And it happens more often than not. I mean, we're not, as much as we try to be, we're not above reproach. We mess up. We're humans. We have sin in our lives. And a lot of times that sin, people who are not Christians, they see that. And they say, well, guess what? I saw David Zebok do. I mean, I know he's an old man, but whenever he gets mad, his shoulder works. I mean, he can throw stuff a long ways. You know, Bever, whenever he works cattle, you'd be surprised what he'll say to those poor cows, because he doesn't get to use a hot shot. We use our words. It happens. And it seems like it, especially with anger, I'll say anger in my life, it happens. How often do we put somebody down? You know, I've been known to jump on the bandwagon, once or twice, maybe more than that. But some people, they don't recover from that. You know, once you get a name for yourself, especially around here, once you get a bad one, it is hard to come back from that. Now, there's people that hold grudges, and once it's out there, it's there. Something to think about. Matthew 5:39 says, but I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. What it mean to resist evil? You know, I was reading this, I thought about that part that says resist evil. Then I thought about whosoever smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. See, my problem is that I don't want to be around somebody that might smite me on the cheek. I'm best if I separate myself from people. I'm just not a people person. I'm a family person. I like my family. I like my brothers and sisters in Christ. But outside this room, I want to stay away. Flee. I can flee. I can run away. But as Christians, if we're not out there helping those who are not, those that are lost, you know, we have to put ourselves out there. In order to reach the lost souls that are out there, we have to be around those kind of people. And sooner or later, inevitably, we're going to get hurt. It's going to happen. The thing is, and this is what Christ was teaching here, is that whenever you do get hurt, you turn the cheek and you keep on with that person and you try to lead them to Christ no matter what. 5:4 says, if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Now, These next couple of verses, they tell us how far we should go. And be real honest with you, it's a lot further than I want to go with people. I don't have the best patience. I've always been told that Huffs have tempers, and I do not believe that. I don't think we all do. I don't think it's something that's ingrained in us by any means, but I have a temper. And that's my problem. And my tolerance for people that don't necessarily get along with is not very much. If you offend me, I like to be done with you. I like to put you away. If we don't get along, if you're a know-it-all, if you have bad language, it gets on my nerves after a while. I can't put up with that. If you're a Democrat, no, we're not getting into politics. But anyway, we got to keep on. We have to go the extra mile. If we're not willing to go that extra mile, how are we ever going to get anybody to get into this building? Teach them about Christ. It's going to take a lot more effort than honestly, most of the time, 80%, I'm willing to put forth. This lesson was really good for me. I don't know if it'll be good for you, but it was good for me. Philippians 2 and verse 3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Question is, how much must we bear? That's a good question, isn't it? I mean, is there like a line that I can look forward to with people? Like, you know, if we get this far, I get to quit and I get to move on to somebody else. Where's that line at? I've looked all through the Bible and I have not found that line. Because it would be great if somebody could find it for me. But so far, it's not there. How tolerant must we be of people that are not Christians? How much must we put up with? We're going to move on to Matthew 5 and 43. You have heard that it have been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Yeah, now we're getting to the good stuff. Leviticus 19:18 says, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. I can do that. I can love my neighbor. What about the people that aren't my neighbor? Do I have to love them too? Do I have to be tolerant of them, lead them to Christ? Or just put up with them? Nothing in there about hating thy enemy. And you can read the rest of 19, but we're going to skip most of it, go to 34. But it says, but if the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself, for you are a stranger in the land of Egypt, I'm the Lord your God. See, the children of Israel going into the promised land, there were some people left that they did not kill. So they were their neighbors. They dwelled among them. God tells them to love them. Exodus 23 and 4 says, if thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden and was forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him. See, not even under the old law were they ever given the commandment that they could hate their enemy. I was looking for one. I figured there would be somewhere in there, because, I mean, they destroyed their enemy whenever they were taking the promised land. But that's what God told them to do, so, but to hate their enemy. And I don't know if it's human nature, but it seems like it's a whole lot easier to hate our enemy than it is to forbear and go that extra mile with them. I'd much rather hate them. It just comes natural. It's easy for me to hate somebody that I don't like. No, it's easy to whenever somebody offends me to say, I don't like you. I never want to see you. I never want to speak to you again. I'm going to scratch your name out in the phone book and act like you don't exist. And hope I never meet you on the road, because then I'll feel awkward that I need to wave, but I really don't want to wave to you. Matthew 5:44 says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now that verse makes me feel about this tall right now, because I don't do that. When was the last time you prayed for somebody that you don't like? Not necessarily that they're your enemy, but somebody that spreads rumors about you. Somebody that, you know, leaves you out. How often do you pray for them? Pray for that they would have the best. How often do you put them above yourself? How quick are you to forgive them? Stephen's a good example. I mean, he pretty much puts all the rest of us to shame, or he really puts me to shame. It says, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. They were killing him. In the process of killing him, and he forgave them. I'm not willing to do that. Matthew 5:45. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than the others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. I learned from this lesson about forgiveness and my anger problems that I cannot deny that I have. My lack of people skills that I hone for good reasons, because most people I don't like. It's kind of sad, but I just don't like to be around people. Sooner or later, they're going to say something that I don't agree with, and then that's it. We can't be friends. But I learned from this lesson that I need to forbear. I need to forgive. I do not need to dwell on strife and what people have said about me. I need to let it go. And I guess the biggest eye-opener for me was I started to think about how many times God has forgiven me. I think about my sins, and I think of the price that had to be paid for my sins. That I offended God, I separated myself willingly from God, and the truth is that he had to send his only begotten Son for my selfishness, for that mistake that I made. Could I send my son, one of mine? I have two of them. Could I send one of them? No. No. Ain't happening. But I think about my sins and how many times I've been forgiven. And I can almost promise you that I have been forgiven more times than what I will ever have to forgive somebody else. So my long suffering with people, I have fallen way short. The lesson is yours this morning. We're going to offer an invitation. And I'll be honest with you, there's people in this world that are lost. They do not have the blood of Jesus Christ to cover their sins. That means that they will have to pay for that on Judgment Day.